testimony is a story I take too lightly. Being asked to do this, my excuse was, and I think a lot of us have the same excuse, my story really isn't that interesting. I grew up in church, pastor's kid, you know, that kind of background. But I'll never forget what my dad told me. He said, "Emily, it isn't about how interesting your story is. It's about the Lord taking you from death to life, and that's something worth sharing." So here I am. I'm Emily Warden. I'm a senior at Walker Valley. We've had lots of Walker Valley representatives. Go Mustangs. Go Mustangs. But we graduate in 4 days, so that season's been super fun. But just a little context about me. Several of you know. For those of you who don't, I am a pastor's kid to Justin Warden, the best youth pastor on the planet. Yes, give him a hand. That gives you a little bit of context about my background. I grew up in the church, and I was tied tightly to it. I knew every Sunday school answer, I went to every service, and I checked every box. And there's a character in the Bible who lived a similar life. Most of you know him. His name is Paul. Paul, also known as Saul, was a murderer, but specifically of Jesus' followers. Saul loved God, the God he thought he knew, and justified his killing of the disciples of Jesus by his love for God. By killing Christians, he was stuck in his religion, which seems a little weird, but that's really what happened. He didn't believe Jesus was who God would send to be the Messiah, so he hated him, and he persecuted him and persecuted his followers. Saul also was good friends with a high priest. He was friends with the highest religious system in that day. And we see this story unfold in Acts 9 when Paul actually asked his friend, he asked him for letters to back up his imprisonment of men and women who belonged to the way, as he puts it. I relate to Saul, even though I'm not really as cool as him, and our sin struggles look pretty different. He was accustomed to his religion, functioning out of a knowledge of God rather than a life transformed by God. As I heard the gospel shared one night at VBS, my 7-year-old self thought about and responded to this call. I went home, talked to my parents, prayed the prayer, and that was it. I was saved. And you would think that's the end, but that's not really what happened. After I was baptized and celebrated my newly found faith, I continued to live my normal life. There was no evidence of true change. I had succeeded at being a checkbox Christian, but what kind of accomplishment was this? Fast forward a few years, and we moved to Alabama. As a ministry kid, you move a lot. So we moved to Alabama. I was finally in the youth group with my dad, and it was the summer after my 7th grade year, so I was like the new kid. And we came up to Covenant College, actually, for a student life camp, and it was like a mission-based camp where we did things for the community and throughout Chattanooga, which is really crazy because we didn't know we were going to move here like years later, so God just really showed up in that. But this trip was really my Damascus moment, similar to Saul's encounter with the Lord when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. The Lord confronted Saul on the road to Damascus with a bright light and a question that would probably be embarrassing to answer. Acts 9 shares this story with us. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." During this trip, I had a moment with the Lord that I had never experienced before. As I finally experienced a deep worship moment, and just, I really made my faith my own with the Lord, and he taught me that I really wasn't saved. Like, I didn't truly accept him as my savior. And so I didn't tell anybody this at the time because everybody thought I was saved. I was a pastor's kid. I had to act that way, right? But I sat in my seat at this camp, and I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus into my heart. And literally from that moment on, like, the Lord just blessed me and used his spirit and filled me up. And so I'm super thankful for that moment, but I still didn't tell anybody. But I had all the joy overflow into every crack of my life. My life had truly, finally been transformed, and my eyes had been opened. When Jesus spoke to Saul, Saul asked who is speaking. This is interesting. He asked this because he had never really had an encounter with the living God, even though he justified his killings of Christians for God. Until you have an encounter with the living and almighty God, you will never truly know who he is and who you are in him. And thankfully, we see Paul learn that, who he is and who God is, and God radically changed his life. Fast forward a few more years, and I moved to Tennessee. We moved 3 days before COVID hit, so that was definitely an interesting time. But Pastor Jordan preached a sermon on baptism, and we were watching in our living room, you know, the whole COVID setup. And so we're all sitting there listening, and the Lord really spoke to my heart, and Jordan talked about the requirement of obedience that baptism is, because when you're saved, there has to be a response, and people have to know. And so I was baptized, or I talked to my parents, and we prayed, and I decided that the Lord really was calling me to be baptized again. And so on April 7th, 2020, less than a month after God moved our family here, I was baptized again, but this time in response to the moment that God truly took control of my life. My baptism didn't save me, but my acceptance of the salvation available through Christ did. The summer of 2021 was my first experience with Camp Cherokee. I can 100% say that Camp Cherokee is unlike, it's a place unlike any other, and it is literally holy ground. This is a little shameless plug for Camp Cherokee. Y'all need to go. But going into camp, I had no idea what it would look like, and I had no idea what the Lord had on his agenda. I just knew it wouldn't be sleep. As an upcoming junior in high school experiencing Camp Cherokee moments for the first time, the Lord was so kind to impress this calling of ministry on my heart. And I had grown up in that my whole life, and knowing my dad had done like all these things. And the Lord like gave me this passion out of nowhere for the things like that my dad does and the things that First Baptist does. And I'm so thankful that he called me to that. So 2 years later, and I'm going to Lee University, and I will pursue a discipleship ministry major. So God is so cool to use that. So I'm super excited to see how the Lord will use me. Can you imagine the excitement, though, that Paul must have felt finally experiencing the love and forgiveness of the Savior he once worked against? Like, he saved me, but he saved Paul, too. He saved all of us, if we're saved in here. But God's grace didn't stop with his forgiveness of Paul's life. God was also kind enough to change Paul's identity from a murderer to an instrument of his plan. He used Paul's life to spread the message of God's love and used him to write the majority of the Old Testament we now find our faith in. I'm super thankful for the pursuance of my Savior, even in my wanderings. My relationship with Christ is everything to me. The Lord has been sweet to break me, mend me, grow me, love me, bless me, guide me, and teach me. In this season of life, in the midst of all the accomplishments being celebrated and the awesome opportunities that I have been blessed with, I'm reminded of my unworthiness, but not in a way that degrades who I am or like lowers my self-esteem, but in a way that makes me realize how worthy my Savior is and realize what my calling is to, you know, exalt him. So Paul says it best this way in 2 Corinthians, because God used an incredibly unworthy Paul to further his kingdom, so how much more could he use us? How much more unworthy could we feel than a man who sought after Christ's followers? So Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12, "For if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool because I would be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would lead me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. He is so worthy of our praise in our entire lives. Whatever weakness you may carry or whatever burdens you may carry in here, even through this, you are given an opportunity to let the Lord lift your head and be your strength.